Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We're glad that you're here with us. A lot going on in the life of our church right now. This morning we celebrate with Ty and his family. We will confirm Ty today as he makes a public affirmation of the promises of his baptism. So we're rejoicing and we're thankful in that event today. It impacts you, not just because there's a service here, which we get to do that with Ty, but there's also food back there that is for you, too, to come and celebrate with Ty. So we hope you'll stay and eat lunch with us afterwards. This Saturday is the big event. Our men put on the John Conrad Memorial Chicken Barbecue Fundraiser every fall, and that's this coming Saturday. So, if you don't have tickets to that, see one of the men, and they can get you tickets to that. If you got tickets on you right now, throw your hand up in the air. Frank in the back, Dwight back here, Johnny, lots of folks back here in the back. So, if you need tickets, we can get you tickets today. If you know somebody who might need tickets, whether because they want to eat a lot of chicken or because they have a Saturday group that comes into the office and they might need to buy tickets from us, or they're going to sell them on our behalf, let somebody know. We'll happily get those tickets connected. If you would be willing to help on Saturday, either at the pits in the morning or in the kitchen in the afternoon, see me or one of the men, and we will gladly find somewhere to put you to. Next week, during our Sunday service, we will be doing a blessing of the backpacks. So if you are somebody who is going to school or teaches school or involved in school administration, bring your backpack or your briefcase or whatever you use. Even if you don't bring something, bring yourself up, and we will offer some words of blessing for you as you start the new year. There's an announcement about that on page 7 of the bulletin, too, if you want to see more details on that. And then I'll ask you to check out the rest of the announcements, which are many in the bulletin. I will highlight, we are going to go with middle and high school youth to Lenore Rhine for a football game on the 15th of September, so check out that announcement if you've got middle or high schoolers. And then a couple of more updates on folks' kind of announcements. Harold Beck ought to be on our prayer list, and I just neglected to give his name to Latifah this week. Week before last, he was in the hospital overnight and just having a lot of pain and not sure what's going on, so they're still trying to work that out, but he is home now, but please keep Harold in your prayers. And then wanted to let you all know that on Friday night, Betty Queen, Eugene Queen's wife, passed away. So please do keep Eugene and his family in your prayers. Are there other announcements we ought to share for the good of the community today? I believe we have at least one prayer shawl this morning.
Agape Friends will meet tomorrow evening. Come casual. Bring your bathing suit. If you'd like to go swimming, it'll be on Libby's back porch at 6:30. So everyone's welcome. This prayer shawl is for James Church. He has worked for Rex Everhart, but friends of James and Marie Palmer, and he has cancer, and so he needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Kyle, Ariel, Lydia, Travis, Joe, Olivia, Challen, and happy anniversary to Boyd and Janice Queen. Are there other folks we ought to add to that list today? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. We stand as our worship begins on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 864 in the back of your book. Service continues on page 147 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Ever-loving God, your Son gives himself as living bread for the life of the world. Fill us with such a knowledge of his presence that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life to serve you continually. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The congregation may be seated if the children will join me for the children's message. You guys can have a seat up here. We have some furniture up here that we don't usually have, don't we? Yeah, I'm not even going to sit down because you won't be able to see me if I do. We've got this furniture up here that's not usually here, and it's because something is happening today. Do you guys know what's happening today? Isabel, you know something's going on, right? It has something to do with your brother. Yeah. Ty is being confirmed today. This is his confirmation day. Do you guys know what it means? What does the word confirm mean? Does anybody know? I'll tell you. The word confirm means, yeah, that's right. Say that with me. Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's what confirm means. Basically, you say, yeah, that's right. Ty, when he was much, much smaller than he is now, I assume, I wasn't there, Ty, right here, was baptized, okay? We poured water on his head, whoever the pastor was, and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But Ty was a baby when this happened. You don't remember it, right, Ty? No. Ty doesn't remember it, and you know what? He also probably didn't even know what was happening. But his parents said, yes, we believe this, and we are going to do this for you right now until you're old enough to know what's happening. And so today is that day. Ty has been learning and studying for 2 years, and today is that day when Ty is going to get up here, and we're going to say, hey, Ty, all of those promises that your parents made for you when you were baptized and they poured water on your head, do you believe those now for yourself? And Ty is going to say, yeah, that's right, I do. And we're going to say, we confirm this faith in you and we rejoice with you. Now, I know most of you have come to this font too, and some of you are on the way still, and we pour water on your heads and we say, you are God's precious child and we love you and God loves you and there's nothing in the whole world that can change that. And that's what we celebrate with Ty today, and we celebrate that with you guys who have done it already too, and we will celebrate it with some of you coming up. And that is a wonderful, wonderful gift. As you guys leave, after we pray, I want you to do something. I want you to go up to this water in here, and touch it and put some on your head to remind you of the gift of baptism. Can you do that? I'll help you with it. But first, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for baptism.
We thank you for baptism.
Be with Ty today.
Be with Ty today.
And be with us.
And be with us.
Call us to live lives,
of baptism.
Amen. If you all are going to Children's Church, you can line up at that door, but first come up here with me and we're going to put some water on your heads. You also can stay in church if you would like to. Okay, yeah, we're going to put this water on your heads, and you can remember if you've been baptized, and if you haven't been baptized yet, this can be a little preview for you of what's coming. You guys can head that way and line up. It's wet, isn't it? That's how water is. All right.
The first reading for today is a reading from Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town, "You that are simple, turn in here." To those without sense, she says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight." The psalm for today is Psalm 34, verses 9 through 14. "O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want.
The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good?
Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit.
Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it."
The second reading is from Ephesians 5:15 through 20. "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here ends the reading.
We stand. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink.
Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So often when Christian folks talk about eternal life, the conversation immediately goes to and is dominated by this one question of, are you saved? And I think this is because, in this way of thinking, this life is primarily about accepting Jesus, being saved, so that you can get to heaven. And then any hardship or trouble in this world, well, it's simply something that must be endured until the day when we leave the earth behind and get to heaven. The focus really is on life after death, not the present condition of the world, because the assumption is that going to heaven involves leaving the world behind, right? And why would we worry too much about a world we're going to leave behind? But when we talk about salvation, I think we ought to look at this just a little bit differently. There ought to be at least as much talk about relieving suffering in the here and now as there is about going to heaven when we die. The difference, I think, comes from a fundamentally different understanding of what heaven looks like. Because if heaven is some far-off, cloudy paradise somewhere to which we hope to be evacuated someday, then you get a very different perspective than you do if you take your cues from, like, the book of Revelation, say, where heaven happens here, when all of creation is made new, when God restores all that God has made into the paradise that God intends it to be. When all sorrow and death are removed from this world, when God's will is done everywhere and by everyone and everything, well then, at that point, the kingdom of heaven is here. And this is more the way Jesus talks about heaven. One of the first things he says, after all, when he shows up and starts preaching, is that the kingdom of heaven has come near. What if that's not about our sense of time, like the kingdom will be here in a few minutes or a few years or whatever? What if the nearness of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about is a physical closeness, like the kingdom of God is coming to a neighborhood near you? The kingdom of God is coming to this world. That would make an awful lot of sense with the whole life of Jesus. I mean, what is the incarnation all about? It's not about God rejecting flesh and the mundane stuff of creation. It's about Jesus becoming flesh for the sake of redeeming creation, making it new. The Jesus story is about the process of bringing heaven down to earth. First, one healing at a time, finally on the cross for all. And so maybe in our perception it happens slowly at first, on a small scale. But the kingdom of heaven is here, and it's coming. Maybe it's like that mustard seed at first, right? Teeny, hard to even perceive, but growing, and will keep growing until it takes over everything. Maybe it's like the yeast, right? Even with the tiniest amount, it will spread until it leavens the whole batch. And if there are these pockets of the kingdom of heaven already breaking into this world, well, that means we don't have to wait until we die We can be part of what God has in store for creation in the here and the now. It means that if we can land ourselves in these pockets and work with the yeast of God to experience and expand the life of the kingdom now, well, then we don't have to wait. And I do think that there are these moments of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in our world. When you hold a baby that's smiling and cooing at you, making eyes at you, I have to think that's part of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. When 30,000 young people gather, like ours did with those in Houston, in service, in song, and in prayer, I have to think that's an inbreaking of the kingdom of God into this world. When in love and support, people provide a meal after a funeral for a grieving family simply because they want to show their love, that's the kingdom of God, isn't it? Breaking into this world. And we could name more examples. But to be clear here, we're not just talking about anything we find enjoyable or pleasurable, right? We're talking about the places where God's will is done among us. The joy of new life, a baby. I think that's God's will. But is it always fun and pleasant? It is not, right? At 3 a.m. when that same little baby is screaming at you, it's not any fun. But caring for that life can still be God's will, and I think that it is. I think that's still God's kingdom. And the 30,000 of us who gathered in Houston a month ago, how'd they get there? How'd all those kids pay for this trip? The only way it happened is with the prayers and support of the hundreds of thousands of people back in their home congregations and their families who made sacrifices, right? Financial ones, to send them there. That's God's kingdom too. In fact, until we are transformed for and by the kingdom life, working for God's kingdom may be uncomfortable, quite uncomfortable sometimes. Welcoming the stranger we're wary of, loving the neighbor that we already know we don't like, I think that is the kingdom of God on its way in, even if it's uncomfortable. In the sixth chapter of John that I read from a moment ago, Jesus continues to tell the people, I am the bread of life. Not I will be, right? I am the bread of life. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, not will have eternal life, have eternal life. Rob Bell, in a book that I'm reading right now, says of eternal life, eternal life doesn't start when we die. It starts now. It's not about a life that begins at death. It's about experiencing the kind of life now that can endure and survive even death. I think this is the kind of life we live when, filled by the presence of Jesus, we live out God's kingdom, God's will, right here where we are right now. And when we die, if the kingdom has not been fully revealed yet, then yes, absolutely, God holds us. We are in the presence of Jesus, and that will be wonderful. But what about this time that we're living? Are we killing time, treading water, running out the clock until we die or Jesus comes again? No, right? No. We heard from Ephesians a few moments ago. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. Don't just sit around getting drunk all the time. Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit. Today, we are going to pray with Ty that Spirit would fill him. Because after 2 years of preparation, Ty is going to confirm the promises that his parents and many of you made for him when we gathered here and he was baptized. And we're going to pray that the Spirit would be stirred up in Ty so that he would follow in the calling of his baptism to work for God's kingdom in the here and the now. We're going to affirm that in his baptism, he is promised eternal life, both as a future hope, but also as a present reality in God's inbreaking kingdom. Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is at hand. If we are going to be part of that abundant life, well, there is some transformation that needs to happen in us. And this is the calling of our baptism, Ty's and yours, transformation. It's all throughout our readings today. From Psalm 34, turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. From Proverbs 9, lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. From Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life, our calling, is not just about life after death. It's about being transformed for eternal life now. So in a few moments, come to this table, eat the living bread, and live, not just in the days to come, but in the here and the now. Make the most of the time. Amen. May be seated. We will turn to page 234 for the service of affirmation of baptism, which we use during confirmation. And as we start, I've invited Ty, if he would, to just share a little bit with us about his experience, what these confirmation classes, what today means for him.
One thing I learned at confirmation is that I learned that now I have a stronger faith and I know the Ten Commandments and better understand that God is loving and forgiving. For me, it means to be confirmed. It means that I'm being welcomed into the church, affirming my baptism, and becoming a voting member. And I want to thank my parents for always bringing me to church and supporting me.
You guys know where we are, right? So I'll turn it over to you.
We present Ty Hedrick Heitman, who desires to make public affirmation of his baptism.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for Ty, whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called him to yourself, enlightened him with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished him in the community of faith. Uphold him in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. So Ty, now I ask you to profess the faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
And I ask Ty, along with all you sisters and brothers gathered here, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Ty, you have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support Ty and pray for him and his life in Christ? We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. At this point, Ty, if you will kneel right here, and I'm going to ask your parents to put their hands on your shoulders as we offer this prayer for you. And with them, I'm going to put this, which was made by women in this church and also has the prayers of this congregation that go with it. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Ty the gift of your Holy Spirit, confirm his faith, guide his life, empower him in his serving, give him patience in suffering, and bring him to everlasting life. Amen. Okay, Ty, you can stand up. Let us rejoice with Ty, this new brother that we welcome in Christ in a confirmed way. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world. Let's celebrate with Ty. Some food after. We hope you'll join us. Invite you to stand as our service continues with the prayers. Trusting in our loving and almighty God who abundantly provides for the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. O Lord, you build your church, the body of Christ, and sustain it with living bread. Let wisdom guide your church and teach all its members the ways of righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we cry out in shock, in disgust, and in pain at the years of abuse in your church brought to light this week in Pennsylvania. Bring healing to victims and reform to your church in all places. Compel us to go to all necessary lengths to create safe spaces for all people so that the gospel may be heard. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we thank you for the diversity of the nations. Shower your wisdom and mercy upon all leaders and citizens. Give us all the courage to seek peace and pursue it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, send calm and perseverance to those who are in trouble or who live daily with great stress. Fill them with your spirit and satisfy them with your presence. Especially we pray for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, Lydia, Greg, Gavin, Harold, the family of Betty, Billy, Gracie, David, Chuck, Brianna, Daryl, Wayne, Eddie, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we thank you for this congregation and its ministry. Give us gratitude for the many blessings we enjoy, and inspire us to give thanks at all times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we bless you for family, friends, and sisters and brothers in Christ who have guided us in wisdom and insight. Particularly, we give thanks for those who have helped form tie in the life of faith. Lead us into peace with all people until the day of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and in trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace with one another. We're on page 152 in the front of your book.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right
to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy and mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, taste and see that the Lord is good. This is Christ's table, and this feast is for all the baptized. You need not be Lutheran to join us. You may be seated.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is found on page 5 of the bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Let's say a blessing of thanks for the food over here before we head that way. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the way that your Spirit is at work in the world, for the way that your Spirit is at work in Thai. We pray that you would bless the food that we're about to share and the celebration, that it would strengthen Thai and all of us for your work in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Serve the Lord.